Chapter 60.
You won me?
You won me in a card game?
Tia asked.
Yes, Kip said.
It was after their midnight workout and drafting practice. Tia had apparently noticed that Kip was acting strange and had cornered him. Now they were sitting in his new room. He was still hot from their exercise, wearing a towel around his shoulders, having a hard time making eye contact. He wasn't even sure why he felt ashamed.
What did you bet against me?
I mean, what stakes did you put up? Tia asked.
You don't own anything. I mean, no offence.
I don't either, but it wasn't really a bet like that. The red was, I don't know, seeing how much strain he could put on me, I guess. It was you against a secret that he thinks I have.
I see.
Tia's nose wrinkled for a second. She saw that he wasn't going to trust her.
I'm sorry, I'm not at my best when I'm tired, she said. They gave you my papers?
Kip waved toward his desk where the stamped paper sat. I already registered with the head scribe. He said they have to query the Abornian satrap's embassy to make sure there's no liens on you, but with it countersigned by Andros Guile, he was sure there would be nothing wrong. He already entered it in the Chromeria's books.
Tia was still blinking, like a child who's fallen and can't decide whether she's hurt or not.
Is the right response tears, or just getting back up and walking away?
You won me,
she asked again.
What are you going to do with me?
Her eyes flicked to his bed, back to his eyes, then down.
No, Kip said. Like you said, that's forbidden for blackguards. For full blackguards?
Not for scrubs, she said quietly.
Not until you take the vows.
No woman would ever take Kip to her bed willingly. Not for himself. He'd have to get a room slave to do it. Or a prostitute. He was fat, a bastard, stupid, ugly, awkward, Tyrian, mixed breed. He didn't know how to talk to girls like other boys did. This was his only chance. Tia wasn't exactly volunteering, but she didn't seem disgusted by him either. Andros Guile was right. He could always free her later. Or if they both became blackguards, they would take the vows, and it would end there. Kip would get something for himself for once. He'd earned it. All those hours studying, memorizing decks and strategies when he could have been studying drafting instead. He'd known that he shouldn't use the black deck trick saving Tia. He should have held on to that to save himself. He was risking his own future for her. She owed him. Without Kip, she'd belong to Andros Guile. He'd saved her from that spider. What was so wrong with wanting a little gratitude in return?
Gratitude, huh? Is that what you've been fantasizing about, Kip?
Tia set her bag down. Her voice was distant, empty.
Do you want me to wash up first? Or I could bring up hot water and we could wash together? Or, I'm sorry, Kip. I mean, my lord, I've never done this before. I didn't expect my mistress to sell me. She seemed very set. I'm talking too much, aren't I?
And he had fantasized about Tia, and felt awful afterward. Kip scrubbed his towel over his face. She was a slave. He hadn't enslaved her, it was just how things were. All this wasn't his idea. He had to pay penalties for how things were, too. He hadn't chosen to be a bastard, but he had to live with that, didn't he? He took his lumps. It was only fair that he get some of the rewards. He deserved this. Besides, just because it was a duty didn't mean it had to be unpleasant. Kip would be good to her. He would care about her. He would be better to her than any slave girl could hope a man would be.
Tia swallowed. I'm a virgin. But the room slaves talked about their work a lot.
She blushed.
I think I know what to do. She swallowed again.
And really, what could she hope for that was better if he freed her? Did peasants have things so much better than slaves?
Temptation is a slow and subtle serpent. I am the turtle bear. I'm fat and ungainly and ridiculous, but at least I can be honest with myself. I want to take her because I'm terrified I'll never get the chance to bed anyone ever again. And I'll be nice to her because I don't want to feel guilty afterward. It's all lies.
Of course I want to sleep with you, Master. Of course you were good to me. Of course it's better than a girl could have ever asked for. Of course you are kind and generous and wonderful. If you're not free to say no, your yes is meaningless.
Have I displeased you?
Tia asked. She wouldn't be so attuned to my every mood and whim if I weren't her master, would she? She swallowed.
We don't need to wash up first. I didn't mean anything by it. I'm sorry. I'm all thumbs at this. I should shut up and...
She crossed her arms and grabbed the hem of her shirt. Kip grabbed her arm before she could strip, stopping her. He ignored the bewildered look on her face, went to his desk and grabbed the papers. He handed them to her, avoided her eyes.
You're free. I won't be able to get it registered until the first transfer clears the embassy. I tried, but as far as I'm concerned, you don't belong to me.
That sounded bad, for some reason. Kip rubbed his face with a towel.
No one had slaves where I grew up, so I don't know how people usually do this, but I don't want to know how it works. The idea of compelling you to do the things that awful old man suggested. I hate myself enough already.
You haven't been sleeping, have you? Tia asked.
What's that got to do with anything?
So you haven't? Kip looked away.
I have bad dreams.
Bad dreams. That was putting it mildly.
Whether I sleep or not, I'm more tired in the morning.
Go to bed, Kip. We'll talk about this in the morning.
I'm serious, Tia. Me too. To bed,
she said firmly.
I thought I was the master around here, Kip said.
He regretted saying it immediately, but she laughed and swatted his butt. She'd laughed a little too hard, though, obviously at least as relieved as he was. He went to bed and, miracle of miracles, slept. In the morning, Kip felt ridiculously well. For 10 seconds. He caught himself humming. Then he thought about the dagger. He sponged himself clean, put on fresh clothes, and then poked his head out of his door quickly. No spies. At least none that he noticed. He used the stairs to go down to his old barracks level. He still didn't have a plan, but he knew he couldn't leave a priceless relic in some random chest forever. He slipped into the barracks and walked quickly down the rows. The bed under which he'd hidden the dagger had been claimed. The chest was moved to the foot of the bed, like all the other occupied beds. Kip's throat clamped shut. He threw the chest open. A change of clothes, an extra blanket, a few coins. No dagger. Oh, hell. Oh, hell no. Dear Ohulam, no.
What are you doing in my stuff? A voice said from the latrine doorway.
It was a new boy, someone Kip had never seen before. Pimply, scrawny, birthmark on his neck.
I had some things in this chest, Kip said.
Where are they? What have you done with them?
What are you talking about? There was just a standard blanket when I got the chest. Are you stealing from me?
Oh, shut up, Kip said.
You're a breaker, aren't you?
The boy asked. Great. Kip didn't say anything. He left. He went downstairs and got in a student line. He was here during lectures, so the line was empty. The secretary obviously knew Kip was skipping lectures too. He took his time coming over. Kip bit his tongue.
Are you lost, young man?
The secretary asked him. The man was holding a steaming cup of kopi.
No, but something of mine is. Do you have an area where you keep lost items?
Indeed, the man said. What have you lost?
Kip swallowed.
Please don't tell me you've lost a number of coins, but you can't remember exactly how many.
The man smiled humorlessly and sipped at his kopi.
No, Kip lowered his voice. A knife in a sheath. About this long. White raised skin on the, grip. Some glass embedded in the blade.
You boys and your games.
I'm serious.
The man took another sip of his kopi, rolled his eyes and went to a box behind his desk. He began rummaging through old cloaks and trousers.
Slaves clean the rooms, you know. Shifty a lot. No morals. Thieves half the time. You really shouldn't leave anything out that...
He stopped speaking. Kip heard the unmistakable sound of a blade sliding out of its sheath. His heart leapt. The man came back to the counter and laid the blade on the counter. It was the real thing. His eyes were wide. Kip swept it off the counter.
It might, be wiser for you not to tell anyone about this, he said. I don't mean that to sound like a threat. I meant it's kind of incredibly important, so if anyone else comes looking for it, maybe you haven't ever seen it and don't know what they're talking about. And if you ever find out which slave brought it here, tell them thanks. I probably owe them my life or something. The man sipped his coffee nonchalantly. There were beads of sweat on his forehead, though. I don't have anywhere to conceal a big knife. As if it weren't terribly conspicuous, Kip took the knife and stuck it up his sleeve, the hilt concealed as much as possible in his hand. He swallowed and tightened his belt with one hand. Girding up my loins, I guess.
Loins.
Kip didn't like the word. The secretary cleared his throat. Is there anything else I can help you with? He asked. Oh, Kip was stalling. No, thanks again. Then he was off. He didn't know where to go. He didn't have any safe place to put something worth a fortune, but he found himself walking toward Janus Borig's house. She had things that were worth a fortune, hidden in plain sight. Maybe she could give him some advice. When he got to the entry hall, he realized that everyone coming inside was soaking wet. He thought about going back up to his room and getting a cloak, but his room could well have a spy on it, and he already was doing a bad job of protecting the dagger. Getting lucky once was great, but expecting it to happen again was too much. He'd just have to get wet. Orholm knew he had enough insulation to keep warm. He braced himself against the downpour and started jogging. When he reached Janus Borig's house, sopping wet and freezing cold, he found the door bashed in, torn off its hinges, the iron twisted and ripped. He smelled something in the air. Blood. Blood and smoke.